Presently, the old man passed close by me, and as he entered the dimly lighted chamber which I had been about to pass through, I saw that he held a long, thin dagger in his hand, and that he was sharpening it upon a stone. In his mind was the decision to inspect the radium pumps, which would take about 30 minutes, and then return to my bedchamber and finish me. As he passed through the great hall and disappeared down the runway which led to the pump room, I stole stealthily from my hiding place and crossed to the great door, the inner of the three which stood between me and liberty. Concentrating my mind upon the massive lock, I hurled the 9 thought waves against it. In breathless expectancy, I waited, when finally the great door moved softly toward me and slid quietly to one side. One after the other, the remaining mighty portals opened at my command, and Woola and I stepped forth into the darkness, free, but little better off than we had been before, other than that we had full stomachs. Hastening away from the shadows of the formidable pile, I made for the first crossroad, intending to strike the central turnpike as quickly as possible. This I reached about morning, and entering the first enclosure I came to, I searched for some evidences of a habitation. There were low, rambling buildings of concrete barred with heavy, impassable doors, and no amount of hammering and hallooing brought any response. Weary and exhausted from sleeplessness, I threw myself upon the ground, commanding Woola to stand guard. Some time later, I was awakened by his frightful growlings, and opened my eyes to see 3 red Martians standing a short distance from us and covering me with their rifles. "I am unarmed and no enemy," I hastened to explain. "I have been a prisoner among the green men, and am on my way to Zodanga. All I ask is food and rest for myself and my Khalid, and the proper directions for reaching my destination." They lowered their rifles and advanced pleasantly toward me, placing their right hands upon my left shoulder, after the manner of their custom of salute, and asking me many questions about myself and my wanderings. They then took me to the house of one of them, which was only a short distance away. The buildings I had been hammering at in the early morning were occupied only by stock and farm produce. The house proper, standing among a grove of enormous trees, and like all red Martian homes, had been raised at night some 40 or 50 feet from the ground on a large round metal shaft which slid up or down within a sleeve sunk in the ground, and was operated by a tiny radium engine in the entrance hall of the building. Instead of bothering with bolts and bars for their dwellings, the red Martians simply run them up out of harm's way during the night. They also have private means for lowering or raising them from the ground without, if they wish to go away and leave them.